This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Especially want to thank, during this Christmas season, the support that we continue to receive from our friends at Innovated Companies. You guys remember Randy and Stephanie, the wonderful Green family. Second-generation craftsman Randy is, 35-plus years experience. They're fully licensed, bonded, insured. They would appreciate an opportunity for your business. The show is always sponsored by the construction arm of the Innovated Companies. They can help you with your residential, commercial, or industrial projects. Give them an opportunity for your business. Again, that's our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green with the Innovated Companies. We'll hear more from them throughout the episode as they're a big part of our show, and we do appreciate them greatly. Let me welcome in on the m4byyachty.com hotline, my good friend and yours during this Christmas season. He's always got something great to say. Our friend and yours, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you, and I'm wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's, man. I mean, I hope all your wishes come true, and may God bless you all, man, and let's keep going.
Well, I know all Blues fans appreciate you, and you're taking time and your sentiments towards Blues fans everywhere, and just being completely involved in the show and willingness of to share some stories and thoughts. So I want to tell everybody, too, take this opportunity to remind everyone, to tell you, and then hopefully you'll remember. We will be off next week. Lineupmedia.fm is officially closed. The owner very strongly believes in a refresh before the end of the year and wants everybody to enjoy time with their family without having to take vacation. So he shuts it down always the week between Christmas and New Year's and allows everybody to spend that time during the holiday season. So special thanks to lineupmedia.fm for their support here. We will be back in January. This is a good thing for fans, though, because let me tell you why. The Cardinals will probably do something really big next week when we're not doing a show. So that is probably a good thing for Cardinals fans, the way my luck goes with this stuff sometimes. So we hope you guys continue to shoot texts and things like that at us so to make us part of your Cardinal equation. Let's remind all of you to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there. You can listen to the shows, but you can also do your shopping at Amazon. If you're on your computer, you'll see the Amazon banner. Scroll down a little bit down on the right. On your mobile device, if you scroll all the way down, you'll be able to click the Amazon banner. Do your shopping with them through us. You're done with us once you click it. We get a very small referral. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Just really, at the end of the day, helps us with our production costs. Don't forget to find us on our social media sites. You can find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Please follow us on Twitter and jump in those conversations. Our big ask, though, is to find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. You'll find our Facebook page. Like it, and then our big ask, click invite your friends. You should see that down on the right. It'll go through you can scroll through your friends list and invite all your friends that you know love Cardinal baseball, and we would greatly appreciate it. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Appreciate that. And once again, special thanks to the great company, lineupmedia.fm. They're the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet, and we truly, truly, truly appreciate all that they do. I want to get into some chat here with Benji. We're going to have him for about 30 minutes, and then, of course, we'll go to Bow Ties and Sweaters with Mo's Algorithm. But Benji's getting ready to head out for the holidays himself, so he was kind enough to give us 30 minutes before he hops on that airplane. Benji, let's talk a little bit. Things typical offseason stuff, right? So the Cardinals have needs. They may or may not be doing things that some Cardinal fans like. Like, a lot of Cardinal fans were kind of split. I'm not going to say split. I think there was a lot of Cardinal fans that wanted them to re-sign Lance Lynn. So it sure looked like Lance Lynn was gone. Cardinal fans were not happy about that. Then we thought, okay, lots of big talk coming out in the offseason. The Cardinals are in on all these players, right? I'm on record as saying things felt different to me. I felt like they were going to make moves. I wasn't even sure they were going to be great moves. I thought they were going to make big moves for business reasons. All of a sudden, we're knee-deep in on Stanton, and everybody's excited, and then it gets drug out, and people get frustrated because, let's face it, we're impatient. We want what we want, and we want it now. We wind up not getting Stanton, so there's some hurt feelings, some level-headed people saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But they follow all that up and wind up getting a guy that they may have targeted the whole time. And I think by all accounts, Cardinal Nation was ecstatic to get Marcell Ozuna. So there, the first domino falls, we get Ozuna. The problem is, before Ozuna, and this is where I think part of the problem is, before Ozuna, a couple of free agent signings that I think kind of underwhelmed people, right? You kind of got that same old Cardinal gonna get the low-hanging fruit. So you had a little problem there, but then when they get Ozuna, you kind of take your eyes off of what they did there. But now here we are in this lull again. Nothing's happening. No names are coming out. There's been a few relievers go off the market that some people liked. I would assume liked better than Gregerson, and we didn't sign them. Whether for you it was Nicasio, it may have been Swartak, it may have been Neshek, it may have been Shaw. I know a lot of people like Shaw. Okay, then the Manny Machado stuff starts up again. You're hearing all these rumors coming out of Tampa, and then Manny Machado. So now you're trying to figure out, and we did a poll, what do you think the reason for the holdup is? Is it Manny? Well, this stuff's all kind of come to a head, and now all of a sudden Cardinal fans are getting worried again because it's starting to feel like we've been told a whole bunch of stuff, and it's like we're already getting set up by our general – well, not our general manager anymore, I guess our vice president or president of operations, whatever Mo's title is – sending out some signals and some rhetoric, like almost preparing us for, well, this might be it. Now, I don't buy that, but Cardinal fans are getting restless. And I'm typically a very impatient person, but I still don't think we're even remotely close to being done. What is your vibe on this?
You know what? You said a word that is pretty interesting, impatient, right? You know, like everybody gets impatient and if you are impatient, you're going to have trouble because that's the off season. You have to be patient, right?
Right.
The only thing that keeps me, it keeps my heart beeping right now towards the Cardinals is that nobody of the guys that they've been related to are gone, right? Like the relievers we want, the relievers that are out there that we thought could help us, they're still out there. That's the only thing that keeps our hearts beating right now. If those guys happen to be gone by now, then we're screwed. You know what I'm saying? So it's really up to those guys to, they still have time. There's still going to be guys out there to be picked up, whoever it is, Mustakas or I don't know what they're thinking. Of course, we don't know, but whoever, you know, Hosmer and, you know, whatever. Machado is via trade, so we cannot talk about that right now. Machado could happen or it could not happen because it's just trade. But the other guys are free agents. They are available right now. All you have to do is pick up the phone, and I'm sure they have, and I'm sure they're doing their job. I don't think they're quiet at all. I think every day they're on the phone trying to figure it out because, remember, when these kids are in the free agency, and Mo said, hey, I'll offer you 3 years, $30 million. They're going to go to the next team and say, hey, I got $30 million on the board. What do you got for me? And then the Angels are going to say, hey, I got $40 for you. And then they're going to go back to the Cardinals and say, hey, listen, I got these. Okay, I raise it up. You know, that's how it works. So I bet you anything, there's a lot of people out there right now doing that stuff. So they're on communication with all the free agencies they want. But the only thing that keeps our hearts beating right now is that they're all still available. Once they start getting off the board and you can scratch them off, then we start getting very, very impatient because we didn't get our guy. We didn't get a guy to help us in the bullpen. We ended up signing Gregerson. We ended up signing Mikolas when you could have signed probably Lynn. I don't know how much money he wants, but you know, you could have done something like that. But anyways, we're still good. We're still good. We're still on the run. We have guys out there that can help our team, and that's what matters right now.
Well, and for me, you know, I look at it, and I guess names the Cardinals were linked to. I mean, linked to. And again, you wonder how much of it's true, how much of it's rumor, how much of it is put out there to spark it, whatever. But names that they were linked to, there's only been a couple of them that are not available any longer. Like, we had heard they checked in with Brian Shaw. We had heard they checked in with Brandon Morrow. Those two guys have both signed somewhere.
Where's Shaw signed?
Colorado. Colorado Rockies. Either a few days ago or a week ago. And that he was in that time frame when there was a little bit of that run on relievers. I think he may have signed right after Morrow. I could be wrong, but Swiatek or whatever his name was, the guy from Chicago. I think he went to Milwaukee. I could be wrong, but you know, that was another name you heard. But the big names for what we really need, and it, they're still there. You know, like you kind of heard that we were in on Holland. Like you know, again, the same guys that throw these things out and they never happen said we were going to be all in on Holland after the season. Well, obviously that wasn't true. But he's been talking to Colorado, but I'm sure he's talking to a lot of people. Otherwise, he'd be signed. See, that's the thing. Everybody's like, well, he's going to, well, then why isn't he signed? If it's a done deal, why isn't he signed? Same thing with Wade Davis. Same thing with Addison Reed. These are all three guys that have been tied to the Cardinals, and guess what? They're still out there.
Remember, Jimbo, what I told you before, when all you need as a free agent is if Jim Cramer is out there as a free agent, and all you need is two teams to battle each other. So you can get the maximum amount of money that you want, right?
For sure.
If you have only one team after you, I bet you anything you're going to have to take it because your agent's going to say, hey, man, there's nothing else out there. This is the only team, and they're offering Shaw, you know, for example, or you or whoever, they're offering you $30 million for 3 years. I know it's not what you want, but there's only one freaking team that's offering that, and if they go off the table – we don't have anybody, so you better rethink this really, really good. So free agency is like that. Like Wade Davis, he probably has so many guys going after him right now. They're just probably on the table with the offers like, okay, we have this offer right here, that offer right there. Let me get the phone, and we got to tell him we need more from these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like that way.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes. We need to understand that. But
sure.
If you only have one team then, you have to take it, and that's you know, like for the Cardinals right now, let's all think that we're lucky that we're the only one offering Wade Davis something.
Yeah, no,
so we
for
can
sure.
Have it good, you know.
You know, and so you look at those free agents. The only trade guy that the Cardinals were linked to, well, besides Stanton, that I think that was I think we can all agree that was a unique situation. But the one guy that we were linked to in trade, which, again, I had sent this out, being linked to a guy in trade isn't always a good thing. I mean, I guess it's the eye of the beholder, right? Like, and again, I never heard the Cardinals say this, but, you know, we were linked to Longoria. And then there were all these things like, well, you know, and this shows you how much people don't know. Well, we were linked to Longoria, but the reason we were linked to Longoria was because we may have to take him if we wanted Colome, or if we wanted Colome and Archer, we would have to take Longoria. Almost like he was a throw-in because of his contract, and I understand that thinking. So people got all geeked up a little bit about Longoria. The people like Mo's Algorithm and the people like this make it abundantly clear that Longoria, while, boy, he looks nice on paper, and yeah, he had a nice start to his career, he's really no better than what we currently have. So why would you get all geeked up about replacing something you have that on paper is no better? You know, kind of like
yeah,
the Hosmer
that's
argument,
done,
you know?
Right?
Well, that's my point. But so everybody's got this in their mind that this Longoria thing, you know, is there, and it's and this is the reason. Well, then we see Longoria get traded, and we find out that that's not the case. Longoria was worth something to somebody else all by himself. In fact, he was worth their number one prospect. So, and some other prospects. So,
and four players. Not only one, four players.
Yeah. So, you know, now I'm sure they didn't want Denard Span. I'm very sure that of that. And they will probably try to move him or But that's the way the money portion of it works a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't have to include Longoria in any deal to get rid of him. And I've said this 100 times over, no matter what we think of him, no matter what a team thinks of him, all it takes is for another team out there to find value in a guy, and the price automatically goes up. Now, that being said, there are still...
But this whole thing is better for us.
Well, I think so, and some people would agree to
that. Yeah, because we don't have to take Longoria now.
If that was... But that's the thing. If that even was the case. Again, these are all things that are put out there by people that I would be curious to know at the end of the season how accurate they are. They're less accurate than weathermen, I assure you, because I can't remember the last time I saw one of these national guys come out and say something, and 2 or 3 weeks later it wasn't completely the other side. And I get it that they're going off field too. Everybody acts like these guys have some crystal, like they're talking to the GM and the GM's telling them everything. And that's the other thing. People are like freaking out because, well, judging by Mo's comment, and I've done this too, so I get it. I'm not like dogging on people. I've done this. I get it. Well, I can tell by Mo's voice we're done. We're just not going to do anything. And I always say, well, do you walk into a car dealership and go, hey, I'm here to buy a car. I'm buying a car today no matter what. Well, let me tell you something. I sold cars. I love those guys. I love them when they walk in because you ain't getting a great deal, I promise you. Mo and most of these guys play that old school, close to the vest. They think by not showing their cards that it benefits them. I don't know if it does or doesn't, but that's the way it is, right? They don't come out and say, we're doing this, this, and this. They just don't. So I don't understand that. Now, I have done it before. I have tried to, because who doesn't like a good conspiracy theory, right? Who doesn't like to think that you can pick up things from the Cardinals? But on the flip side, I've said since day one, and I'll stand by it, this feels different to me for a variety of reasons. I've told some people on here, have they done enough right now? No. In fact, I would say I don't think we're as good as we were last year. I think we got a real problem here. Okay. Now, that being said, I don't think we're remotely close to done. If we are done, and if we don't really address at least at bare minimum the closer portion of this, I mean, we have to do that. I'll lead the parade down to Busch Stadium with pitchforks and fire, demanding somebody's head because we're not better. I don't know who's drinking what where, but this team right now is not better. Now, don't get me wrong. I like our lineup with Ozuna in it, and I'll go right now with our lineup. I would love another bat, but I don't need another bat. But I will tell you what I need is I need a closer for sure, and I don't care what anybody says. We need a starting pitcher. I don't buy it. I don't care.
Hope they're thinking that way.
Yeah, I sure hope so. So we'll see what happens. Now, again, is it going to be on my time schedule? Maybe not. So we'll see. But there's all types of things here. And again, I've said it since day one. I will judge them by the offseason. And that means the whole offseason. We're not even into the new year yet. A lot of this stuff happened. We'll see what happens. I just think there are other things coming. That will lead us into a fun part of the show, which people love to hear from Benji, and I always give my thoughts as well. Let's get into our Twitter questions, Benji, because we got some good ones today. Special thanks to Innovated Heating and Cooling for all they do. Innovated Electric always sponsors our Twitter questions. Don't forget Innovated Electric for new construction, panel changes, full-service upgrades, replacements of fixtures and devices, full-service department of exterior and interior lighting, energy management systems, and they'll help you with your inspection violations. Again, fully licensed, bonded, insured, 35-plus years of experience, second-generation craftsman, our friend and yours, Randy Green. You ready to go for some questions?
Let's do it. Hey, you know what, Jimbo?
Yep.
We need to tell the fans the story of Johnny Bench because they're getting impatient.
They are, and we are going to get to that. We're going to get to that today. But I want to. But since we're kind of talking about players, let's do that first, and then we'll have a little fun before you go. Sound good?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. From at Creasel87, I hope I said that right. If the Cardinals don't grab a closer this offseason, and I know where this is coming from, I want to say it may have been Jim Bowden or somebody like that said that this is what they would do if they were the Cardinals. Instead of spending a whole bunch of money or prospects on a closer, could you see Reyes taking that role this year, first year after Tommy John? Your thoughts on Reyes being the closer?
You know what? I love him. I love him as a closer. I love him. He has the heart. He has the guts to be a closer. Do we know how good he's going to be? We don't know because obviously everybody knows he came from a Tommy John surgery. So we don't know how good he's going to be. I'll be happy to see him pitch first. you know, like just to see him on the mound, whatever they want him to. I'm excited to see him pitch because he's electrifying. So I would take him as a closer because I really do believe that he has that mentality of a closer. He's a young kid though, you know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with that. So with that being said, I'll take him as a closer just because of his mentality, but is he going to be the closer? I don't think that's what they're thinking right now.
Good question. Next question from Eric Johannesson, at Eric the Redbird. I hope I said your name right, Eric. Do you think the Cards are completely committed to Karp at first? Their focus seems to be solidifying third, perhaps expecting a healthy Karp as well as Jerko thriving in utility. This is an interesting question. I think what they've done here is, and I'll give my thoughts and then I'll let you give yours, Benji. It sure seems to me like the Cardinals are looking at trying to upgrade, and depending on how the thing works out, they could go either way. An interesting name that we didn't mention that other people linked to the Cardinals, I never heard the Cardinals link, was Eric Hosmer. Now, people have went back and forth over whether or not Hosmer's an upgrade, not an upgrade. The numbers people say he's not. The baseball people love him, blah, 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 right? We can go on for days about that. I get it. The question here is how much better does a player make you? Obviously, Manny Machado or Josh Donaldson, who I think are the two third base targets we're talking about here. If you acquired one of those guys, if it's Donaldson, Donaldson plays third. If it's Manny Machado, we heard that Manny wanted to play short. So my guess is they would play Manny at short. They'd put DeJong at third, and then Karp would stay at first. I think what they've done is they've hedged their bets a little bit with Karp, being that they probably want to move some things around. And I do believe this all ties into Jose Martinez wanting to get him some at-bats as well. I think they want that flexibility with a better lineup. So a lot of this is really going to depend at the end of the day is how realistic is getting Machado or Donaldson. I don't see Moustakas. I sent something out last night. If you look at those numbers, I don't think there's any way, shape in the world that they touch Moustakas. That's my opinion. We'll see what happens. But for me, I think they're committed to getting better. That's my answer. Are they committed to a guy playing a certain position? I think they're committed to getting better. If better means Donaldson at third and Karp at first, I would say that's better. If better is Carpenter at third and Hosmer at first, I think that's better too. The numbers people may disagree, but I guess we'll find out. Your thoughts, Benji?
I think Hosmer in our team makes us way better. I really do believe so. He's a total package. With Karp, you can get a hitting, getting on base and hitting as a his package. His strength, right? That's what he is. That's what he is. He's a hitter. He's an awesome hitter. He's an all-star hitter, whatever you want to call it. And that's it. Is he a good defender? He's okay. I think he's below average, right? I mean, he's shown us that he's probably below average, I guess. I don't know. Is he a good base runner? I don't know, you know. So sure. With that being said, I think Hosmer makes our club better.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Karp is not going to play. Karp is still going to play. He's going to be moved to third. What I'm trying to say is we have to think about what makes our team better. Does Moustakas makes our team better? It's the same as Jerko. It's the same as what we had there, you know? So does it make us better? I don't know about that one. But having Hosmer at first base, a gold glover, obviously, you know, he's a good defender and a good base runner and a good hitter. He's become a great hitter. So that makes us better, okay? I want people to understand that part.
Right.
So I would go with Hosmer at first and Karp at third. I don't mind Karp at third. I mean, I know he's going to make his mistakes, but I don't mind him at third. I just think anything that makes our team better, we should be open-minded to.
Great answer. Stacey Anderson, I want to give a shout-out to Stacey. She's become such a big fan of the show, and she's always engaging with us on social media, very supportive. Thank you very much, Stacey, for always being kind to us and very supportive. At S. Anderson 77. This is a good one. This is going to be, you know, I'm going to have to ask you this question, and then maybe this is something, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. If you don't, I'm going to ask you, over the holidays, I'm assuming you'll see your brother. I want you to ask him. So this is a good question. do the players really care about numbers other than ERA, RBI, or home runs, or all those numbers just for media and certain fans? And will there be any new acronyms come up this year? Okay, so let me answer her question and then read it to you the way I think what she's asking, because I think what she's done here is she's asked a great question based on people that are so puzzled by numbers. Number one, I couldn't answer the acronyms thing as far as like different stats as they come up. That'll be a question for Mo's algorithm when he's on later. I think what she's asking is, so what? Why would call as a fan, because I'll consider myself just like Stacy. I'm a fan that just loves the game. I'm not that deep into the analytics, although I'm trying to get smarter about it. So I think what she's saying is, like, for you, Benji, did you look at the main ones? So I think that's her ask, right? The main ones. So for you, I mean, as long as your batting average was good, your maybe your on-base percentage, home runs, and RBIs, did you look at those and say, that'll tell you if I'm doing well or not? And was that enough for you? Or did you want to know, and then again, I don't know how prevalent it was when you played, all these underlying numbers to say whether you were any good or not?
Oh, my gosh. We players do not care about all that crappy numbers that are coming out right now. All they players look at right now is the average, the on-base percentage, the RBIs, the home runs, the doubles, all those little, all the main ones, like you said, all the main ones. They care about that because they know if they're good at those, they help in the team, right? That's what they think. That's the way they think. If you tell me about a pitching, the pitcher thinks about the ERA. The pitcher thinks about how many innings they pitch because they want to be available for the team. If you're a reliever, you want to get to 90 or 80 innings. If you're a starter, you want to get to 200 innings. Walks, strikeouts, all the main ones, yes, the players, yes, they do worry about those because they know that if they're good at those, they're helping the team. But once we started getting the war, all these crappy numbers that everybody's bringing on, it might be good for them. It might be good to argue something. It might be good to whoever, you know, the people that believe what's happening, like a GM or something, building a team or whatever. Yeah, it might be good for them. But the players hate those numbers. Think about it. Think about this, what I'm saying. The players hate the numbers. So with that being said, I hope I was very clear. They don't like the little numbers. They like the main ones.
Now, is that something, I mean, are you willing, I mean, is that something you and Yachty have talked about, or is this your assumption based on conversations?
You know what? Yachty is old school. So Yachty likes the main ones. And a bunch of players that I talked to when I was playing, and a bunch of players that I've talked to when I was a coach, and a bunch of players when I talked to them when I was a radio announcer for the Cardinals, I had a chance to talk to many players, many managers, and many, you know, former players and stuff. They all say the same thing to me. I hate those little numbers because they really don't come to say the truth of a true player. Like, if you see a guy that have a heart playing in baseball, are you going to take a guy that doesn't bring anything to the clubhouse? Or that there's no numbers to the clubhouse. There's no numbers to the hustle guy. There's no numbers to a guy that's great with the players during the game. There's no numbers for that. So you're going to go by bringing this number deal when you're really missing up the really good hustle players, what we call ball players. Don't we call those guys ball players? I bet you anything, if you ask Rowling, if you ask Gene Edmonds, if you ask Reggie Sanders, if you ask Pujols, if you ask Bergman and Mike Matheny or those guys that were old school, I bet you they tell you the same thing. I'd rather have a guy that's a freaking hard-nosed guy, a ball player, than a guy that's going to be no help in those areas, but still good in numbers, in the little numbers that whatever they want to call it, you know, the analytics or whatever. Yeah, he's good in there, but he doesn't bring anything good to my team because he doesn't do the other little things any good. So it's tricky, man. It's tricky. I'm with the old school. I love my just the regular numbers. That's what I love.
Really good. Last question. From Brennan Moriarty, at Brennan Moriarty. I hope I said your name right. He's kind of looking like to the future a little bit based on where we've gone so far. If there's no success with the moves that have been made, what direction do you see the team going? Big contract bat, new management, new GM. What's the tipping point for DeWitt? So I'm taking his comments to mean, if what we do this year isn't enough, do you see the Cardinals trying to fix it by next year going out and maybe throwing a ton of money at one of these big bats, or do you see a new manager, maybe a new GM? Will missing the playoffs again be the tipping point for DeWitt to say we got to go a different direction?
I don't think that we're, as long as Mo is in charge, I don't think we're going to see a new manager. I think Matheny is his friend and, you know, his boy. So I don't think we're going to see any manager. And I don't think DeWitt or Gersh. I don't think these guys, they get along pretty good. They're okay. So I don't think we're going to see any move there. What I think we'll see is, like, if nothing happens right now, we're in deep doo-doo. We're in deep poop, man. We really are. The Milwaukee Brewers are not getting any weaker. We already saw what happened with the Cubs. They're always good, and that's what worries me. So if we don't do anything here to get this team to be competitive, we're in deep doo-doo. So with that being said, we're going to suffer next year, but then like the lady or the guy said, you know, like, we could go out and give a big signing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
get somebody with the, you know, with the money that we didn't spend this year. So those are the two options I see.
I lied to you. Last question before I let you out of here. And this is because this is a good one because of your understanding of how it works. Ken Carell, I hope I said that right, at Ken Carell 1. And he's asking if there's any word. I don't know if you even knew this, if you would say for sure, but maybe just give your opinion. Did our new pitching guru have anything to do with the underwhelming signing of our new pitchers? Does he see something we don't, or is this just Mo being Mo? I think where he's going with this is, again, I think while Gregerson has had a nice career, and I hope he does well, Mikolas coming from Japan, not being in the thing, I mean, these feel underwhelming to some. Do you think Maddox had anything to do with these two signings, feeling like maybe he can get the most out of them, almost that Dave Duncan vibe? So do you think Maddox had anything to do with us signing them instead of maybe the more notable or higher-priced guys?
I think he had. I think they, being new and being with that reputation that he comes in with, I think that Mo and Gerd probably talk to him about him and say, hey, man, if we bring these two guys, they're available. What do you think? Do you like them? Do you like how they pitch? Do they give you innings? Do they pitch two innings? All the options. I mean, I'm sure they talk about it. I'm sure he's involved in there, you know, like, and I hope he's involved in getting Greg Holland, and I hope he's involved in getting Wade Davis or Colomé in the trade or whoever it is. I hope he's involved too, because I think his knowledge, he's knowledgeable and he knows what's going on, you know?
Yeah, that's really good. So now that we finished the question portion of this, I want to now take the time before you go to address, and Stephen Feistel is the one that brought it up at SFeistel1. Fans, especially with the stagnant downtime, they're curious about Johnny Bench and the crackers for Jose.
Well, the Johnny Bench story I think it's cool because, remember, Johnny Bench is considered for many our best catcher ever, right? I mean,
right.
A lot of people think he's the best and he's in the Hall of Fame. So when Yadier was 16, I think, I'm not sure, 15, 16 or 17, I'm not sure how old he was. He was doing a bunch of tryouts. He was being seen by a lot of teams. In this case, he was invited to the Cincinnati Reds, right? And these were when they were playing at that field that had the turf, and I can't, Riverfront, right?
Riverfront, yep, so yep, like, yep.
Yeah, it had the turf and stuff. So they didn't know that Johnny Bench was going to be there, right? They just thought that the Reds were going to see Yadi and see if they can draft him high or whatever, right? You know, like everybody else, you know, I want to see my prospects. So Yadi got a chance to be there at the Reds stadium, and Johnny Bench happens to be there to see the kid. And when they were done, Johnny Bench, I think, told Yadi, I said, hey, man, you're going to be a rat, so you better get used to the rat. You're going to be a rat, so we're going to try to sign you. You're our guy. I love you. I love how you are. I love how you throw the ball. I love these. I love that, right? So here comes the draft, and what I heard a lot of people that has obviously talked to him, here comes the first round, and the Reds, and then Johnny Bench said, hey, man, we got to pick this young kid. I love him. I love him as a catcher. He's going to be great. The first round go by, nothing. Second round go by, and he goes, we got to get this guy. These guys are still available. Nobody has picked him. He's a great catcher. We give him time to whatever. No, nobody picked him. The Reds didn't even pick him the second round. Third round comes over, and the same thing, that Johnny Bench guy, he wanted him. He wanted him. For some reason, he wanted him. And nope, they didn't pick him in the third round. And I don't know if who came first, if the Reds or the Cardinals in the fourth round. But the fourth round came in, and Yadi was picked by the Cardinals. And I heard that Johnny Bench was so mad and so upset with everybody because that's the guy he wanted, because he thought he could be a Hall of Fame career, right? And he wasn't wrong. But nobody paid attention, I guess, to him. So Yadi came to the Cardinals and da da da. But the story is that he could have been a Red.
Wow.
That's what I was trying to say to everybody, that he could have easily been drafted by the Reds organization and be Yadi Molina in the Reds uniform.
That's an unbelievable story. Can you imagine Johnny Bench, arguably the greatest catcher to ever play the game, telling the organization, you have to draft this guy for four straight rounds and you don't take him? And then, wow, that's a good one. Last story then, tell us why the crackers at home plate for Jose.
No, I think it was just a joke. I think he loved, my brother Jose loved the Oreo cookies, the crackers, the, you know, all those. So, and Yadi thought it would be funny just to put some crackers there when he went in, you know. And and I thought he was funny. My brother just laughed loud. I just put it in his backpack and just kept going, you know. So, but it wasn't anything big. It was just because he loved those. And Yadi thought at that moment that it was going to be funny, and he was, you know. It was very funny. So, but it wasn't anything behind it, just that my brother loved those cookie and crackers, you know.
Good stuff. Well, hey, listen, I know you're heading out with the family and you took a little more time than expected today. We appreciate you so much on here, and we do nothing but wish you and your family a great Christmas and safe New Year. And we'll be back in 2018. And for all of our listeners, please remember we will be off next week. But Benji, please know that to you and your family, especially Yadi with M4byYadi.com being a part of the show, make sure everybody knows how much we appreciate you, and I know I speak for all of our listeners when we say thank you for taking time out each and every week to be a part of Two Birds on a Bat. And again, just Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Please be safe.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I do this for the fans. I want the fans out there to know all these, you know, to know all these facts and understand the game from another perspective. And I want to wish everybody over there, I already told you guys, man, Happy New Year's, Merry Christmas, and I hope everything goes well over there. And to all the fans, it's time to be patient, because the names are still out there. You know, don't get impatient. Now, when you see starting those names going out, then you worry about it. But as long as those names are still on paper out there as a free agent, we still have a shot. I believe that the Cardinals are going to do something. I really believe they... It's not like they owe it to us, but they owe it to themselves, because it's been a few years and we haven't been in the playoff and we haven't been with this guy, so with Milwaukee and the Cubs, at least with them in our division. So I feel like they're going to do something great coming. They know they need to address the bullpen, and they're going to do it, at least the bullpen. We need that guy. We need that closer. We need that guy that shuts the game down. So to everybody out there, thank you. We'll see you later, man. Go Birds, man.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and yours, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, buddy.
That is Benji Molina, as he comes to you each week on the M4byYadi.com hotline. Again, I know everybody appreciates him coming on and giving him his takes. My partner in crime, not in studio today, little office Christmas party. Don't forget, he's offering two Cardinal tickets for home opener next year to see the new-look Cardinals. Hopefully there's many more additions to come. But we're going to hear from him and his wonderful wife, Emily. Give you their spiel and tell you how you can get a hold of him. Don't forget there's a contest going on there. Get a hold of him and ask him a question. Let's hear from Steve and Emily. And when we come back, it'll be time for Mo's Bow Ties and Sweaters with Mo's Algorithm, where analytics meet the eye test. See you guys on the other side of the break.
Hey, Cardinals fans, this is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483. Or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
All righty, welcome back. And again, special thanks to Steve and Emily Flowers and their continued support of Two Birds on a Bat. Again, I hope everybody is enjoying this holiday season. Let's welcome in, speaking of holidays, it's always a holiday. Anytime you can talk about bow ties and sweaters with Mo's Algorithm, where analytics meet the eye test. Mo's, you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing okay. Happy holidays to you and yours. Kind of rolling into the holiday here and talking about some Cardinal baseball. Wanted to get with you on a couple of things. First and foremost, I think it's time at this juncture. We're probably halfway through the offseason, I would say. Let's give a little update on how you're doing on the list that you came out with. I think you've done okay. I mean, I've seen some things that you were pretty close to. I think the results, people need to understand the undertaking of the list that you came out and, while more importantly, where a guy goes versus what he signed for and how his value is perceived is what I find interesting. So give us a little update on how you're doing.
So far, I think I've hit three correct in terms of what team they actually signed with. And then I've hit quite a few on their AAV, you know, their annual value. But getting the right team and the specific contract is tough to do. So I've just been kind of looking at how I've done as opposed to whether or not I got the team, the years, and the money right. If you get all three of those right, you did pretty good. But I'm more concerned with whether or not I valued these players the same as opposed to what team they actually got signed to.
Yeah, I'll use an example of how hard this is. I would have never in a million years thought Brian Shaw would go to Colorado. I would have never in a million years thought he would go to Colorado. I just didn't see that. If I was Brian Shaw, I wouldn't have even returned a phone call. I don't understand that one, but hey, money talks, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like Colorado's trying to build a Super Bowl pen. They've been on the phone with other high-profile relievers as well. So it looks like Colorado might be taking a different approach to their pitching staff this year.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe that. I think the Addison Reed thing is no different than how I view it here. If they don't get Holland back and they can't get Davis, I think mm-hmm. they go to Addison Reed as the closer. I have a hard time believing they're going to sign Addison Reed and Greg Holland and Mike. Now, they could prove me wrong, but, man, I mean – you know, they just signed, you know, they had just gave that money to Desmond last year. They got their own guys that are awfully good. They're going to have to pay eventually. I just don't see it, but we'll see. I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll
see.
That's
a lot of money to invest in a bullpen.
Well, and again, if you think that's all you need, you know, then I get it. But man, that's a lot of money, especially when you've got arguably one of the best players over at third, and blah, blah, blah. So we'll see. We shall see.
Yep. Yeah, the other one that shocked me even more than Brian Shaw was Carlos Santana signing with the Phillies.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing there. I see the fit in terms of Carlos Santana is a great player and he's going to help them, but they have Rhys Hoskins and a loaded outfield. So I know it sounds like they're going to move Rhys Hoskins to the outfield, but they've already got three or four very good outfielders as they sit now. So I just didn't understand the signing. I didn't see what they got out of it other than creating roster log jams. But, yeah, that one really surprised me, Carlos Santana going to the Phillies.
Well, he got a – that was an interesting contract. I can tell you this. He got $20 million a year, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I had him at $18 million a year. I had him 4 years, $72 million going to the Rangers. And Texas still needs a first baseman, so I don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, and the thing is, if I'm him – see, I think there's a lot of teams that if you went to them and said, yeah, I'll give you I'll sign 3 years instead of 4 or 5, I think you would see more of these $20 million. It's the years, man.
Yeah.
These teams year-wise are, you know, freak. And I understand it. I get it. They're, you don't log them up. You don't jam them up. You don't – it's long-term commitment. I get it. I look at the Cardinals, and I'm telling you that I think, like, if Eric Hosmer was to call them and go, hey, listen, I'd love to do a three-year deal because I want to go back out on the market. I want to come there and show that blah, 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 blah. I think the Cardinals would be like, nah, you know what? Maybe we weren't that interested, but for 3 years we might have to listen. I could see that. I really could. Now, will it or happen or not, I have no idea. But I just think the 3 years versus 5 or even 4 or 6 or 7 that you see sometimes, 3 years is attractive, man, because, you know, 3 years isn't like an extraordinarily long time. And, you know, you can, you know, because really you always give everything at least a year anyway. And then you have the second year to see, okay, is what we saw good or bad? Was that realistic? So then you got the second year. And then if it's not working, it's like, well, you know, the 3 years, you know, it's up. It's time to move on. So, or it's like, hey, this worked out really well. Let's start talking about making this. The 3 years have been great. Now let's talk about going more. You know, so I don't know. It's always for me been the length of contract.
Yeah, I think teams are thinking that way too. And something with this year's free agent class too is a lot of these free agents are older. A lot of these free agents are, you know, 32, 33, 34. So they're getting in that stage where going 5, 6 years on a guy like that is just not going to happen. So that's why I think we see a lot of these guys still sitting out there, because they're just going to have to come to terms with a 2 to 3 year deal, because these teams aren't going to sign them for 4 to 5 years just based on their age.
You know, and on the other thing I do want to say is I think, you know, if I was Carlos Santana, who doesn't want to hit in Philadelphia? What left-handed hitter doesn't want to hit there? That's a bam box.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I saw him more going towards a team that was ready to win. I don't think Philadelphia is there. But if that was the best offer he got and him and his agent felt that was the best move, then it's going to be good for him personally, you know, as far as statistics go. But as far as chasing that ring that he almost got 2 years ago, it's not going to happen in the next 3 years.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Well, that's another interesting thing. Anything else jump out at you off your page?
Not so far. I think once some of the bigger ones start signing, I think we'll have a little more to talk about. You know, the JD Martinez's, the Yu Darvish's, and that. But again, I think teams are waiting this out because they don't want to go the 5, 6, 7 years that some of these guys want signed for. So it'll be interesting to see where the levy breaks this winter in terms of those players.
In your opinion, I mean, a lot of these guys are Boris guys. You know how he likes to do this. Right now, I think what we've got is we got guys standing out in the middle of town square or in the middle, out in front of the OK Corral, and we got a standoff going on. Who do you think blinks first, the agent and the players, or do you think the teams blink first?
I think the teams probably blink first because they're going to have to start. I mean, we've seen the trade market start to stall a little bit now, and I think teams are going to have to start making – they're going to have to start filling out their rosters, and – these players have to be signed. They're too good to just sit out there. So I think both sides will come to an agreement, but ultimately it'll be in the player's favor as it always is.
I had an interesting question. Oh, you know what? Before we get to that one, you know, had a lot of people like shoot a tweet or send a private message and really kind of give it the,
hey, what's wrong with Moustakas? I mean, God, I think they see the home runs last year. They see the spike a little bit. The average was pretty good. You know, this guy's a good defensive third baseman. Look at the home runs. I mean, why are we not talking about him? Then I think you saw Nightingale tweet something that said, you know, with everything that's going on, Moustakas may just fall right in the Cardinals' laps. And again, that could, you know, here's a guy, same thing. He calls the Cardinals and says, hey, look, man, I might do a 2-year deal. I mean, they may have to sit there and go, well, for 2 years, I mean, maybe we do gamble that he's better than we think he is, or maybe he is who he was last year. I don't know. But I kind of had sent – and again, I had seen some people share some numbers, so I went and looked at it myself on Baseball Reference, and I took a screenshot of his main numbers, you know, the main ones, and I sent it out, and I basically said, the next time somebody asks you why the Cardinals should – or why you don't understand why the Cardinals aren't interested in Moustakas, just show them these numbers. Now, again, were those numbers awful? Well, they're not awful, but we have that. Now, we don't have the guy that hit 30-something home runs over there last year, that being said. But defensively, I mean, Jerko played as well as I think you can play at third last year. And again, in a full season, what's he do? I don't know. But my point is, while, I mean, if they signed Moustakas, I wouldn't lead a charge on Busch Stadium to tear it down over Moustakas being a Cardinal, because I'd be like, okay, whatever. I mean, we'll see what happens. Not who I wanted, not even close. But I don't see anything in there that makes me go, yeah, we're better. I mean, your thoughts on Moustakas and the numbers that I shared?
So the numbers are fair. There's a couple I want to point out. And the biggest one is the growth that Mike Moustakas has shown in his slugging percentage. You go back to 2014, he was at 361. He went up to 470, then to 500, then to 521. This guy is only getting more powerful as he hits his prime. He just turned 29. I don't think 3 or 4 years would kill you on a deal like this. I think personally, and I've argued back and forth with people on Twitter on this, I think Jed Jerko is better suited as that super utility guy. He fizzled after the All-Star break last year, and people are saying it's because of his hamstring injury. He wasn't hitting after the All-Star break in July and August before his hamstring even got injured. So I think he was overexposed. I think he's better suited as that, you know, fill in, play 3 or 4 games a week situation. And I would really like Mike Moustakas. I'm not going to lie. I think you look at his left-handed power, and then you look at the Cardinals lineup, there's not a lot of left-handed thump. When you're looking at Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler as your left-handed thump, you're missing something a little bit. I think you're taking away from those guys what they're really good at. And that's not hitting home runs. Moustakas is out there to hit home runs. And I think if you were to plug him in between, say, Ozuna and DeJong in that 5-hole, man, that lineup gets really, really powerful. And he plays an adequate third base. He's won a gold glove before. You know, we can talk about the defensive metrics the same way we have about Eric Hosmer. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I think it leaves Carpenter at first base, which is probably better for everyone involved, rather than him being over at third. That's another argument. But I don't think they're the same player, and I think the left-handed power is what trumps it for me, because if you look at this year's free agent class and next year's free agent class, there's no left-handed power. The only one is Bryce Harper. That's it. So if you're looking for that left-handed corner infielder, you're not going to find him in the next 2 years. So this is your guy if that's what you're looking for. Now, if the Cardinals are looking for that, I'm not sure. But there's a fit for Mike Moustakas in this team, in the lineup and on the field.
Well, here's an interesting thought then. So, I mean, let's face it. I mean, OBP is the number that gets thrown around like it's gold, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you've said it. I mean, why do we not take into account a guy's ability to make it to first base? No matter how that is, right? So
yep.
Can you live with the low OBP from him because he's not batting in the top 4 spots and basically his only job is to protect? If you are bat, let's say you are batting him behind Ozuna, is his only job to hit behind Ozuna and hit home runs when they don't want to pitch to Ozuna? Is that his only job?
I think that's his main job, because here's what I look at. if he had a low on base percentage and he had a similar slugging percentage to, say, Jed Jerko, where he slugged 472 last year, you know, he slugged 50 points higher than Jed Jerko last year. So I think, yeah, you're giving up a little bit of the on-base percentage, but you're getting so much more power out of him. And with the guys that would be on base in front of him, wow. You know, that those four hitting in front of him, that's something he never even saw in Kansas City, in my opinion. And if you look back at 2015, before he hurt his knee, he had a 348 on-base percentage and a 284 batting average. He didn't slug very well, but he was getting on base. So he's shown he can walk. Last year he didn't as much, but he also had a lot more power than he's ever shown. So I think there's growth here. I still don't think he's hit his ceiling. And to say that after he had 38 home run season, it's pretty remarkable, really. And the guy never strikes out. That's one thing. You know, he's also putting the ball in play. He may not walk a lot, but he's putting the ball in play, and he's putting it in play hard.
Last couple things here with Mo's algorithm. Let's do that. Let's go from one to the other. So this ought to be interesting. So we had a person ask, Stacey Anderson, do you see any new acronyms coming? And I think what she's saying is all these numbers that were created were all developed by somebody pretty smart that said, well, this ought to give us a look at how somebody is by adding all these numbers together, right? So I think what she's asking is some of the things that you and I've even talked about, that sometimes there isn't a number for certain things, right? And we would like to know the value of this, that, or the other thing. Are there things within the numbers, since you're a numbers guy, are there things you wish you could tell through the numbers that you think is a realistic, like, I think we would have to do this and we could tell more? Or does it get tougher the more in-depth you get?
I think it's continuing to develop. I think a lot of the numbers that are out, I mean, you can only go so far with what you're trying to dissect. I think the main one for me that I'd like to see developed is, I think we've talked about this before, is that impact home run metric. You know, a metric that shows how much, you know, for example, Mike Moustakas, how many of those 38 home runs truly impacted a game? You know, was he down 10 to nothing and hit a solo shot in the ninth inning, you know, for 10 of those home runs? I don't know. I'd like to know that. That's one metric that I would like to see developed, is how impactful certain players' home runs are. I think that would tell a lot more of the story in terms of how their home runs contribute to wins, as opposed to just he can hit 38 home runs and it may not matter, you know. So I think there's still development and growth in terms of how the numbers can be developed, but they've come a long, long, long way compared to where we were, you know, before I started liking baseball. So
I'm going to include you. Thanks for all of this, of course, from Mo's algorithm. I wanted to include you on the Twitter poll so that you can give your thoughts. Our Twitter poll each and every week is brought to you by our friends at Innovated Heating and Cooling, just another of the arms underneath the Innovated Company's umbrella. When it comes to heating and cooling, they handle new construction, full replacement for your HVAC systems, residential, commercial, refrigeration, and walk-in coolers as well. Preventative maintenance, sheet metal fabrication, inspection violations, anything you may need in the heating and cooling industry. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. 35-plus years of experience, and our friend Randy is a second-generation craftsman. Give him an opportunity for your business. InnovatedCompanies.com. The Twitter poll was, after seeing some freak out about us not getting Longoria, we have to ask, did you really want him? I'll go first. I said no, but I've also said no in saying that if they got him, I wouldn't have been like, oh my God, it's awful. He didn't move the needle for me. Now, again, what do I know? I'm just saying that, you know, and again, he could have fallen into that, you know, maybe there was a rejuvenation a little bit coming to a better situation. But the guy was a consummate pro down there by all standards, so it isn't like he was bagging it because things had gotten stale. So I don't know. Do I believe in the whole sometimes when you've been somewhere for a while and things haven't went so well for the franchise, maybe they've been okay for you? Is there a resurgence maybe because you're revitalized in a franchise? Yeah, I believe that, because that's human. Why wouldn't it be? But did he move the needle enough for it to be a focus? I didn't feel like that. So I had to vote no. What would you vote on that? Yes or no?
I'm kind of where you're at, where it wouldn't have really done a whole lot for me. I like Evan Longoria. I think he's a good player. I don't think he would have hurt the team. He may not have helped it as much as he would have 5 years ago. Where I really would have been totally okay getting him is if it lowered the acquisition cost of getting a Colome or an Archer. You know, if Tampa said, hey, we need to give this, you got to take this whole contract and we can take fewer players or lesser players for a guy like Archer or Colome, that would have been the perfect storm. But it didn't look like that they were going to package them all together the way it went out with San Francisco. So I'm not upset that they didn't get him. I think there's other players out there, such as Moustakas, who can be as productive, if not more productive, you know, than Evan Longoria. So I think, you know, something he said yesterday was kind of alarming to me. He said he was excited to play on grass in San Francisco, which makes me wonder if he's had any sort of lower body injuries that have been bugging him over the past few years playing on that turf in Tampa, you know? So, you know, I don't think he'd come out and say it directly. It was just that quote from him really stuck out to me when he said he was excited to play on grass. So,
well, 88% said no, they did not want him. 12%, my guess is of the 12%, there are people that either just really like the player. I think there's a faction of that 12% too that are in that mode where they just want the Cardinals to do something, which is understandable. I get that as well. Again, I would not have been upset if we would have got him. I would have been like, okay. I think what we did learn in all of this, the one thing I think we were all wrong about, and this always stems from what we're told, because we tend to believe what we're told is factual versus opinion by certain people based on conversations they have and the feeling they get. It really felt like you're going to have to take Longoria to get these two guys, almost like Longoria's a throw-in because of his contract. That obviously was not true because, as I've said, you only need somebody else to value somebody, and it's evident that the San Francisco Giants valued Longoria. And, again, it's when you have a need, the value goes up if you have a real need. So maybe Longoria was worth more to us if we felt like third base was a real need. Not so much to us, but the Cardinals themselves. They only know what they're doing behind the scenes. My guess would be by the fact that we didn't do a package deal involving Longoria and covering – because at the end of the day, what's the real need here? It's closer. I mean, we got to get a closer. Like I'm looking at this thing going – I mean – all of a sudden, if we get a closer, a real closer, and they don't do anything else, while I want them to do other things, I'm like, okay, I get it. While I'm not like going to do back handsprings down Clark Avenue or out in front of Ballpark Village, I'm not going to be like cheering and throwing confetti. I would be like, okay, I might say we're better now. If we get Colome and a starter, and I'm not even saying it has to be Archer, I want a guy that I can rely on next year, then I think we're better because I do believe, and I wasn't even the biggest Lance Lynn fan, but I do believe we are underestimating how much we need a proven starter.
Yeah, I think so too. But from, you know, the quotes of Gersh and Mozeliak themselves, it doesn't sound like that they're prioritizing that whatsoever. So I think they have a lot more faith in Michaelis than a lot of us do, just based on what they know compared to what we know. But closer is definitely something that has to be taken care of, whether that's Colome, Wade Davis, Holland, I don't care. It can't be Luke Gregerson, you know. And I don't even think it can be Alex Reyes. I think that's asking way too much of a kid coming off of Tommy John surgery. I think that would be a mistake. So there's got to be an addition made to that bullpen, and probably two.
Last question before we go. If I told you the Cardinals signed Addison Reed to close and went with Eric Hosmer or Moustakas as the additional bat and did not sign another starting pitcher, would you feel good about the Cardinals going into 2018?
Yeah. I would. That offense, they're going to score runs. And, you know, the thing with the starting pitching is I think we're forgetting how good Alex Reyes can be, and he's eventually going to be in the rotation at some point, whether that be July or August or even September. But I think we're also forgetting that the pitchers they have may be able to get them to July. You know, there's nothing saying that they can't go acquire a pitcher come July. A lot of guys will be out on the market. So just because it doesn't happen in December, and I know I sound like I'm reiterating the stuff that Mozeliak says, and I can't believe I am, but I think the starting rotation they have to start the season is probably what they're going with right now. And if they need to make an improvement at the deadline, they probably will. But I think what we see in starting pitching is what we're getting for now.
Well, and I'll say this. If you know how you – I even mentioned on the show earlier, you kind of look at what they say and you take it with a grain of salt and you try to decipher fact from fiction and lead versus persuasion and things like that. And, you know, when it comes to trades, I don't expect the GM to come out and say, oh, yeah, absolutely, we want Colome or we want – I don't expect them to do that because that just doesn't make sense, right? I mean, they still, whether it works or not, think they're playing that game of, you know, well, if we tell everybody we want a starter, that makes us vulnerable to have to overpay. So I get that. But the one thing that it doesn't even take a rocket scientist to do is look at the timetable for Reyes that they've given. I mean, that timetable only makes sense for a variety of reasons, right? Number one, make sure he's healthy. Number two, limit his innings. But what else does that timetable tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me that whether it's, you know, your hope is that, let's say, four of your five guys work out and one of them doesn't, you're probably going to give him till May, right? If it's Waino, mm-hmm. If Waino doesn't have it and can't get it back, if Mikolas just doesn't work out, if it's Waka that breaks down, if Weaver's not who you thought he was going to be, your hope would be that four of the five, I mean, God, if it's less than four of the five are working out, then we got real big problems. Then to your point, then we may have to do something different. Why? And here's the other thing. I don't understand why we're discarding dipping into our own system to bring a guy up to start, especially when it's pretty evident they're high on Flaherty. Okay? So my point is this. If one of those starters doesn't work out, I guarantee you they're going to get four or five starts in May. I mean, in April to May. Isn't Reyes the logical choice? I mean, can you add many guys much better than him to come in and take those guys' place? And you already own him. That's why, to me, I don't even consider him in the bullpen, unless, you know, all five starters are kicking ass in April and he comes back and now you've added to the quote unquote Super Bowl bullpen if you have in fact went out and got a true closer. That's why I think a true closer is the most important and imminent need, and if we get that, I'll go to war. But I still, if you went out and got another starting pitcher, especially a good one, I'd be ecstatic, and if you got me another bat, I'd be ecstatic as well.
Yeah, I would agree. I want to see another bullpen arm, and I want to see another bat. I'm not a fan of Jerko starting every day, so I want to see another bat added, whether it be third base or first base. And little breaking news here.
Uh-oh.
Looks like Manny Machado has been pulled off the trading block unless offers drastically change. That's a quote. So looks like Manny Machado's probably staying put in Baltimore for a little while.
Now, is that new? I saw that yesterday, that they had said that if the offers didn't improve by Thursday, they were pulling him off. So now, have you seen something where they've officially taken him off the trading block?
Yeah, it just came across now.
Beautiful.
The other thing I'll add to what you were saying, too, is I wouldn't be too shocked if the Cardinals went to a six-man rotation at some point in the season, whether it be in June or July. You got to look at this. You don't know how well Mikolas is going to adjust to, you know, being in the majors again. So they may want to lighten his load a little bit. Waka, we always know they're trying to lighten his load. They're trying to lighten the load of Alex Reyes just because of his innings limit. They're probably going to try and lighten the load of Wainwright just to try and keep him healthy. And let's be honest, Carlos Martinez could probably use a little rest too these last couple of years. He's faded down the stretch a little bit. So you got a whole list of guys there, and they're going to want to watch Weaver's, you know, innings cap limit too, just to make sure he's not overdoing it. So you have a list of six guys right there that are going to start games for the Cardinals this year, whether it be they use the DL like the Dodgers did last year or use a straight six-man rotation. I think there's a lot of flexibility in that, and I think we'll probably see some maneuvering of that rotation all year long. And that's why I don't think they think they need anybody.
Well, you know what's interesting for you to say that, and I did think this was interesting. If you look at a couple of the teams that had a lot of success last year, like the Houston Astros and the Los Angeles Dodgers, like, I mean, if you go on there, did they have guys that really like carried the horse, like were like a horse? They used a lot of pitchers. You know what I mean? Like you don't get on there and they had 200 plus inning guys and all that. I don't see it. Did you?
No, they used a lot of guys. They manipulated that new DL rule a lot. The only guy they ran out there consistently really was
it Maeda?
Was Clayton Kershaw. No, even he went on the DL a variety of different times just to make sure that, you know. So Kershaw was really their main pitcher. They even stuck Alex Wood on the DL a couple times. So the first half it was Kershaw, and then they used Darvish in the second half. Otherwise, it was just a mishmash of players that they would put on the DL and put in the rotation and then pull off the DL and put them back in the rotation. You know, it's manipulating the rule, but, you know, if they're not breaking it, they're just kind of bending it. I don't see what's wrong with it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the innings now. I forgot. They moved Maeda to the bullpen at the end of the year. That's why his game number was up, but his innings were down. So, yeah, interesting. You know, and again, I get it. We're in a new age. But if the Cardinals truly believe that their strength is young pitching, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me based off them going into the season like this, and I'll let you go with this last answer. Would it surprise you at all if during the season we saw spot starts by guys like Flaherty? And I'm talking about it even if the other five guys are in the rotation. I could see spot starts by Flaherty and possibly like a Dakota Hudson or a Gomber. Could you see that as well?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think they're really going to try and limit all these guys. You know, they're not going to try and push. Martinez is probably the only one they're willing to let go to 200 innings. I think the rest of them, they're going to try and monitor and watch. And, you know, Michaelis may get there if he comes out, you know, guns a-blazing. But I think they're going to protect their older guy in Wainwright, and they're going to protect their young investments in Weaver and Reyes. So, yeah, I think that as long as they're not traded, I think we'll see Flaherty especially make some starts next year.
And, again, to the point, it would make sense. They could get them some seasoning. They could see how they do it. And, again, if they truly feel this is a strength, now, to go full pivot here, if they signed, you know, if they would have signed Chatwood, or if for some strange reason Lynn's back in the equation, or, again, if they trade for an Archer, Archer'd be an unbelievable get. I mean, it almost seems naive, but, man. Again, because I love the whole Archer thing, because it seems like everything else, that name came from somebody else and has just kind of grown. And then we have heard that they've asked, but I think who wouldn't ask what the ask is on Archer? So, interesting stuff, man.
Sure.
I tell you what, I'm enjoying these segments with you more and more, because I feel like I'm learning something. And it is interesting how, you know, and I've said this 100 times over, do I need to be analytically like off the charts intelligent to understand what a good player? We seem to agree a lot on the same guys from the eye test to some of the basic numbers. I mean, do some of the underlying numbers tell you maybe what a guy's potential could be based on certain give? I think that's a lot of it. And I've always said the numbers would really help with training to try to make a guy better. So I find it all really interesting in how it plays out. But at the end of the day, you know, as I've said to you, like when we first met, when it was just through Twitter, give me a guy that can hit any day because he can help you in so many ways. I mean, I understand OBP. I understand all that kind of stuff. But, man, when a guy can flat out hit, I have a hard time believing that you're going to find anything negative about that guy. So, really good stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking the time each week. And want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a very safe New Year. Obviously, I think I had mentioned to you, and you know this. If not, I'm telling you on the air here. We are off next week, so enjoy your week leading into 2018, and we'll be back at it full bore in 2018, my friend.
All right. You have a Merry Christmas, too, you and your family, and I'll see you back here in a couple weeks.
All right. That is my friend and yours, Mo's Algorithm. I would make sure I check him out on Twitter, at Mo's Algorithm. Find him on Facebook, at Mo's Algorithm. I'm really enjoying his stuff. And, again, I feel a little bit smarter for having him on here. I enjoyed the show today. Again, I want to take this opportunity to wish everybody a very safe and wonderful Merry Christmas, and especially a wonderful and safe New Year's. I mean, you know, you always hope that everybody's having an unbelievable holiday season and things are going well.
That's not always the case. Please try to remember that when you're out and about and thinking of others. And, you know, I love this time of year, especially for the people that go out and do for others. It brings awareness to the fact that we're all just human beings, and we need to always think about other people and how what we do affects others, and, you know, the things that we can do positively that will affect others. So please take a moment and just think if there's something you can do while you're out doing so much for yourself and for so many of those that are close to you, that, you know, there might be an opportunity for you to do something for somebody you've never even met that may change their life. So that's what I love about Christmas and the whole newness of 2018 coming up. As I've said before, my guess would be that us taking next week off, which is a nice thing for all of us to be able to spend time with families, but us deciding to take the whole, not deciding, we were told we were taking it off by a wonderful boss who said, get out of here, don't think about work, go enjoy your families for a week without costing you guys a week of your vacation, was an awesome gesture. But for Cardinal fans, I promise you, the way these things work, I almost can guarantee you next week we do something big since we're not going to be around. That's just the way my luck works. So I hope everybody, again, has a great Christmas. Special thanks to my co-host, as always, Steve Flowers, who wasn't here today, the great Benji Molina, who joins us, you know, takes time out of his schedule to call in and be a part of this as well. You know, his brother, M4byYachty.com, that sponsors Benji coming on the show each week. Our new partners that came on here towards the end of the year, Randy and Stephanie Green, thank you so much for wanting to be a part of our show, for wanting to use us to help get your brand name out there. And we sure hope people are at least checking them out. That's all they really ask. Just check them out, innovativecompanies.com. They would just love an opportunity for your business. And I know if you meet a guy like Randy, the passion and the caring that he takes in his business and what he does, it's not just business for him. I mean, he is he's a man of his word. I mean, that he's still that style. If he shakes your hand and looks you in the eye and tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And by golly, if it's not right, he's going to make it right. That's why I appreciate him as a friend, not just in a business sense. His daughter obviously got those wonderful traits from him, but yet she's taking his business to another level with, let's face it, as the world changes and the young people get smarter than us, they know ways to help us become better at what we do, and she is no doubt a great asset to Randy and his wonderful company. So special thanks to them as well. Our social media partners, I want to wish them all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Our show's growth over this last 12 months has been, I mean, again, it's been amazing, and we never would have dreamed that we'd be doing the numbers that we're doing. Again, I know a lot of that's Benji, and anytime you have a former player on, people love to hear their thoughts. Whether you agree with them or not, you just like to hear them because, let's face it, the guy's been in the locker room. He knows what it feels like. He knows how hard it is to stand in that batter's box while it looks very easy to us. So, you know, I know that has a lot to do with it, but our social media partners have helped us. I mean, our growth doubled when we started doing this with these people, so thank you so much to them. Number one, RallySquirrel.com. Can never thank Nate McHenry enough. Make sure you check out RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. We're so proud to be a part of the Rally Squirrel Club with him as well. Make sure you check out RallySquirrel.com. Join up to be a member of that Rally Squirrel Club. Great stuff. Making partners every day with more giveaways for the listeners. The premium pod that you get on Mondays. Great stuff. Happy to be a part of it. Special thanks to him and his family. We appreciate them very much. My good friend and a lot of listeners, good friend, Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. So many people appreciate the time and energy this guy puts into his Facebook pages and groups. He is awesome at what he does. He loves to be part of Cardinal Nation. I'm looking forward to him growing as he wants to get into podcasting himself. I think he'd be really good at it just because he simply cares. And to his wonderful fiance, we hope you're getting stronger and better every day. I know it's a struggle sometimes, but you got a great guy there that loves and cares for you and will make sure that you're going to be okay. It's got to feel good to know when you have somebody that has your back. Chris Lawless is that kind of guy. Give him an opportunity. Check him out. Mick Light joined us, got a hold of us and said, hey, man, I'd love to share your content. I love what you guys are doing. He's good friends with he's a good friend of Jamie Rivers, who does the Blues NHL podcast here, so that's kind of how he found us. He's been sharing our stuff, and ever since, the numbers have continued to go up. Make sure you check out Arch City Sports. They are a massive, massive Facebook page, and they share a lot of great content. Cardinals Freaks, another guy, kind of flies under the radar and just shares great content, does a great job. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, happy. Those guys have been with us since the beginning. They just do nothing but share good content. And, of course, the newest member, Everything STL Sports, just a good fan that I enjoyed talking with and meeting as well. For all of our listeners, at the end of the day, it's you. And the numbers that roll in every week never cease to
astonish me that people are tuning in and listening. Thank you. Again, we want the fan experience to be a part of this show. I've had some people reach out and say, man, love to come up. Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying we can do it tomorrow or whatever, and we will figure it out. But our goal is to make sure that if you would like to have your voice heard, if you want to have a question read, if you have a topic, we are committed to that. I can't promise you it'll always happen on a great time schedule. But please, please, please communicate with us. You know how to do it. Again, twobirdsonabat.com is the website. You can contact us through there. You can subscribe to the show. You can shop through Amazon. Hit us up on Twitter. That's a good one. At Birds on a Bat Show. Tweet at us. Use the direct message there. We've told you, if you're a Cardinal fan, we don't care about that the number discrepancy, like, oh, we only follow this many. We don't care. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're following you back. Because if you're going to talk about it, we want to know. Okay? So follow us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook, our biggest ask. Type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page. And this is where we really, really need you. Invite your friends to like the page. It would mean so much to us. If you've already liked the page, go back, get on the page, invite your friends. Click invite your friends, invite all your Cardinal fans. It would mean so much to us. Instagram is kind of new to us, but we're trying to grow it. Two Birds on a Bat Show. LineupMedia.fm, once again, special thanks to the fastest growing podcast company on the planet for including us in all of their plans as they grow. Great shows on there. Check them out. Again, you will find something worth your entertainment time there. And special thanks to the man behind the scenes that does all that, my friend and friend to many people, Jeff Cooper, who, you know, again, takes this very serious and for the week off next week to all the people here at LineupMedia.fm to go recharge and be with family. For all our listeners out there, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We will see you in 2018. Let's go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.